Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.
That's us.
Full Throttle Thursday.
That's right.
Rolling along. All right, Senator Neville is joining us now. Senator Tim, welcome. What's going on today?
Well, hey, we're just working it. You know how it is, guys.
Yes,
oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
Sure do.
Yeah, something about that work thing that, you know, keeps us all going. Nothing wrong with that, by the way.
Well, you bet. Just talking to a lot of constituents today and finding out what's on their mind coming into 2018 and getting an idea of what we should be focusing on more and possibly what the government should be doing less to them.
Okay, so is anybody else as frustrated with the traffic as John and I are?
The traffic's been a big one, John. The other issue is taxes.
Yeah.
And, Dan, I mean, yeah, you guys are right. It's, the basic things that we see. So.
Yeah, I got to believe roads, not roads, but traffic, congestion, moving from A to B, and how much we're getting taxed, and probably healthcare are probably the top three.
I'd say that you're right in there, and there's a couple of other ones. And there's still issues. You know, people have concerns regarding schools, concerns just regarding general the degradation of the communities, and that's a problem. Immigration is also
a
big issue.
Yeah, good one. Okay, so something that you hit on in an op-ed the other day that was near and dear to me is business personal property tax.
You bet. I mean, why would we, we're trying to be a competitive state, and to me, there are two things that keep Colorado from being what I would call a business mecca or a place that people would go to start a business. That we still have a number of business startups here, but we could do much better if we took a look at the business personal property tax and found a way to eliminate that. And the other, of course, issue is the fact that Colorado is not a right-to-work state. And that's a problem for a number of businesses coming in and relocating in Colorado.
So we talked about this the other day. I wanted to get your feeling for this. If the business personal property tax were eliminated, have you guys, has anybody, any bean counter, ran the numbers to determine that if that went away, would there be enough new investment from businesses to make up for some of what we would lose when it comes to the business personal property tax?
Well, I think, John, the tough thing is the when it comes to the counties and cities, municipalities that rely on that business personal property tax, they would tell you that there isn't. I'm sure that over a period of time there would be. The question is, what do you do in the interim? And one of the things that we've tried to do, especially with the split legislature, we haven't been in a position where we could eliminate the tax, but we've been looking at trying to, bump up the floor on the tax. So, that's I think what we need to do is have a long-term plan and say, we're going to do this. It's a very regressive tax.
Mm-hmm.
It hurts startups. It hurts everybody in business. You're taxing somebody on something they've already been taxed on.
Thank you. And the other thing I continue to say, and I've said this for years now, and as a business owner myself who, buys equipment on a regular basis, Senator Neville, is the other thing that it does, and I don't care what anybody says, it really changes your perspective as an owner when you start looking at whether you're going to replace a piece of equipment or not. Because as you replace that, you could get some depreciation and some tax advantages there when it comes to your regular income taxes throughout the year with the IRS. But the caveat is I now am going to pay more personal property tax to you guys on an annual basis.
Exactly. And the other challenge that you get, John, too, and Dan, is that then companies and businesses start coming to the legislature and looking for workarounds, carve-outs, specific tax credits for certain types of businesses. And then that just shifts. It makes solve their specific problem, but then it shifts the burden back to everybody else.
Thank you.
So maybe a green windmill type business would get a special tax break.
And so John has to pick up the tab because I don't get that. Yeah, no,
well,
you guys are right.
Yeah, there's a lot of wind energy credits out there. So
I bet
you're right.
There are.
No, and Senator Neville, you're exactly right. I mean, what happens is, certain entities that have the ability to go and lobby and do those things and can actually write that check and then get, basically have a workaround, like you just said, around some of those things. No offense, the average business owner like myself and everybody out there listening that's like me doesn't have that ability, and ultimately we then end up picking up the tab.
Well, I think, the critical thing, if you're going to look at tax policy and, we're saying that we need taxes to do basic governmental functions that we feel are important. And the first thing is we should prioritize those functions and then eliminate the things that aren't necessary for the government to do to keep that low tax rate, but over a pretty wide base. That's the key. So if you have a low tax rate and you have a very wide base, everybody's got skin in the game, and I think then you can have a successful tax policy.
Yeah, I like your idea of, okay, what we need to do with these counties, personally, this is my thought, is we need to start just weaning them slowly off of the business personal property tax, whether that means we change how things are assessed, we bump up the floor year after year after year to the point where, you know, eventually businesses, unless they've got a gob of equipment, and even then, I don't think we should be charging. You know, here's the ultimate thing too that we all forget. Ultimately, businesses don't pay taxes, consumers do anyways. So really, you know,
that's
the other
exactly
way you could
right.
The other way you could work this would be to say, all right, since we ultimately know the consumers are the ones that end up paying for all this in the first place, we're going to eliminate business personal property tax. Oh, and to help our coffers out a little bit, we'll raise sales tax 1% to offset it. You know what? Frankly, as a consumer, I'd be fine with that because I'm paying it anyways.
Well, I think, John, something like that is probably going to have to be worked out. I mean, the challenge we have right now, though, you know, there's still a focus. You know, you talked about the other issue, transportation, and, you know, a number of people, Denver Chamber of Commerce and other folks want to, you know, basically put another tax increase in sales tax, you know, 0.5, 0.6% on the increase in sales tax. So we have a lot of people that are all looking for this for money from different sources. But the bottom line you've got to do, first of all, I think we can talk about tax policy, but we've got to get back to, you know, what are our priorities in government?
Yeah. Amen.
They work hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I fully agree. In other words, folks, what he's really saying is when we're spending money on things that we really don't need to be and or aren't getting any return for, we should probably stop.
That's exactly right. If you keep penalizing the producers, after a while, the producers will find somewhere else.
Exactly.
To go.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
Senator Neville, you got it. The problem is you have it, and some of the others on the right have that, but we don't have a majority of that thinking, legislatively speaking, in our state right now, do we?
No, we don't, John. You know, I think like anything else, we've got a number of good people on both sides of the aisle. Some of them get it. Some of them sort of refuse the logic for political reasons. And you've got a lot of, you know, special interest groups, of course, that, you know, that have their little focus down there, and they bring that to the legislature. And, it's not a tough job. It's actually, frankly, kind of easy to do the right thing. It's the question is, after you do the right thing, are you prepared to deal with the
repercussions,
you know, with the fallout? Because you're going to have some. But once more people do that, I think they find that life is simple. It gets better. And then we have a state that's growing at a rapid growth rate. And that's one of the challenges here, too, guys. The fact that, you know, Colorado has seen an economic uptick. But that doesn't mean that we don't have these base problems and issues that sooner or later are going to come back to us in a big way, particularly in the next cycle. And we all know that Colorado moves in fits and starts and cycles.
I agree. Really what needs to happen, and I know this is a long shot, but it would be my desire to basically have legislators that would look at a budget line item and say, ultimately, if we spend this money on X, whatever it is, does this help us grow as a state, or is this basically just handing out money to a special needs group? And I think you know what I mean by that. And the reality is, if we're just handing out money to hand out money, we should stop and put that money into places that's going to help our state grow.
Agreed. We all know that we've got folks that need help, whether it's the elderly or those people that are hitting rough times. But we've always been able to do that in Colorado. But when you start expanding that to people who are either able-bodied or capable of taking care of their own needs, you start subsidizing, government starts picking winners and losers,
yep,
and subsidizing certain business entities over others. It's a huge problem.
No, I fully agree. And again, you know my heart, you know me business-wise. you know, and so on. And I guess I just look at all of this and think, you know, all of us as business owners, you know, operators, you know, we're spending money, you know, we're paying sales tax, we're paying withholding tax, you know, or matching a FICA tax on our employees, you know, we're paying unemployment. I mean, all these different things that we continue to pay into. And then for me personally, the one that, you know, you hit on that just really, really chaps my hide the most of everything is paying this doggone personal business property tax. I think to myself, I'm paying all this other stuff throughout the year, and now I got to go write one more check because you guys can't live without it?
Well, you know, John, one of the other things, too, we hear about, and you were touching on this, the idea of cost versus benefit that we make. You know, government is basically making these investments with taxpayer dollars, and where are those investments going? And so a lot of times we hear from the other side of the aisle that, well, Senator Neville, it's not just about business, it's about people. You've got to care about people, and I think that's a kind of a false dichotomy, because
agree.
You know, I think we do care about people, but we understand that people, first of all, that have opportunity and economic opportunity and growth, are able to care for themselves and also care for their communities better. So yep. it's not really a good argument in my opinion, but
no,
it's one that we.
In fact, I would give this back as a comparison. Now, some people may not like this comparison, but I think it's fitting. As an employer, and you probably can relate to this as well, we've all had that particular individual or know that particular individual that will say something along the lines of, yeah, you know, I really can't work that extra 5 hours of overtime this week because I got to be home and take care of the wife or the kids or do this or do that. And to me, I've always wondered to myself, wait a minute, time out. What's more important here? Making enough money to feed the family and not have some of the other, you know, debts and problems that you would have by not working those 5 hours of overtime. Instead, we're going to not work them, go home, be with our family, which, by the way, is great. And I agree, people are fantastic. But the reality, Tim, is if we can't feed them, what difference does it make?
Exactly. No, you're exactly right. I mean, it does come out to making choices and sacrifices, and you have to balance those type of choices. But you know, what I've always found, and I remember when I was in management, one of the first things they told me that we had this little chapter that I can recall. It says, you can't always be the clown at your kid's birthday party. And
yep.
It was just a little story about yep. having to make sacrifices. Sometimes the family sacrifices with you, but that's a positive also, because you're going to be there for the critical areas and the critical times. And I think employers understand that, but also they understand shared sacrifice. And I think your
that's
family,
right.
especially, I was really thankful that my kids growing up understood that sometimes if I wasn't home or I was working and I had to do extra, you know, extra work, they understood that. And they carried that on to, you know, when they had families.
It's agreed.
An extremely important thing.
Sentiment everything you just said. What we now have to do, this is just my thought, Tim, and I know this is a big, big challenge. We now have to get that same mentality into all of our constituents across the state of Colorado to understand that, guys, there may be times, Mr. Citizen, where we do have to make a few sacrifices here and there to actually ultimately be better off 4, 5, 10, 15 years down the road. The problem, Tim, is we live in a society where it's instant gratification and nobody understands that sacrifice and the delayed gratification that comes with it.
Well, John, you're right. And I think it's getting back to everything from parenting, being good stewards. You know, in the state house, I think it starts with being good stewards of the taxpayers' dollars, every dollar. And, you know, we have an opportunity to set examples. You know, there's a reflection, I think, in the state house of, you know, what's happening in society. But also, you know, we have that opportunity to get up in the morning and make a difference and be right about what we do.
Yep. Yep, very well, very, very well said. Well, first of all, Senator Neville, thank you for all you're doing. We appreciate it very much. I mean, you're one of the guys that I know I can count on to do what we need to have done, you know, in the correct manner, whether that be for the moral side of the fence or whether it be for I as a business or combine those two together. I'm just glad you're on our side, and frankly, I wish we had more like you.
Well, hey, John, I appreciate that. Dan, you guys have a great day.
We'll do it.
Thanks, Senator Neville.
You bet. Radio.
Appreciate
Thank
it
you.
Very much. Have a fantastic evening, and I like what he said.
I do, too. Good stuff.
And again, just to reiterate, we have somehow got to get our constituents to understand that, you know what, you can't have everything today.
Well, sure you can, John. I mean, I see it on TV all the time. I can have everything with my Visa card.
That's true. And eventually you got to pay that, don't you?
Nah, just put it on the MasterCard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, just keep
moving
and then,
around. And then when that happens,
that sounds like
you'll throw it on the American Express card.
Sounds like the government. Anyways, Front Range Mortgage is coming up next. If you're a veteran without a VA loan, you are missing out. There is the ability for you to have a no-money-down, low-interest-rate loan on your next house. And really, it doesn't matter if you've had VA loans in the past or not. Brian can help you out. So it's Brian Murphy, Front Range Mortgage, 303-500-1900. Tell him Rush to Reason sent you.
If you are a Colorado veteran and you are not in a VA mortgage, you've probably been lied to. If you're a veteran and not in a VA mortgage, 99% guaranteed, you're paying too high a rate, throwing away thousands of dollars a year to a bank that will never tell you they're taking you for a ride. As a vet, you're entitled to use a VA loan over and over again. You should be paying zero in mortgage insurance, and you can take out 100% of the value of your home for paying off credit cards. Your bank is never going to tell you how much you're throwing away, but I will. I'm Brian Murphy, owner of Front Range Mortgage, a local Colorado-only mortgage team that has helped hundreds of veterans to drop their mortgage insurance, save thousands, lowering their payments, and pay off high-interest credit cards. Call me and my local team for a painless 5-minute conversation to see how much we can save you. Our number, 303-500-1900. That's 303-500-1900, or visit frontrangemortgage.com. NMLS 378844, regulated by the Division of Real Estate.
Hey, it's not often that you find a roofer with a reputation for excellence, and I mean that sincerely. There's a few around, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to Genesis Total Exteriors, 20-plus years they've been doing this, reputation for excellence. The Better Business Bureau will say so. All you got to do is go look them up, and it'll say so. So give them a call today. Anything your home needs on the external, windows, gutters, siding, you name it, Genesis is there for you. 303-679-8509. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
Mark Szymanski warns KLZ listeners, never sign with the first roofer who knocks on your door after a storm because you can't trust them. Unlike fly-by-night out-of-town roofers with no accountability, Genesis Total Exteriors bears the stamp of approval from the Better Business Bureau. They're a member of the Colorado Roofing Association, and they've been in business for 20 years. Suppose you discover a problem with your roof repairs a few months from now. Unreliable out-of-town roofers won't be there to help. Genesis will. Mark and his team work very hard to maintain their A-plus rating with the BBB because reputable, dependable service matters. Take it from John Rush. Maintaining that A-plus rating is no easy feat for a roofing company. After a storm, you want a local roofer with a reputation for excellence. Instead of settling for the first out-of-town roofer who rings your doorbell, call Mark and his team at 303-679-8509.
All right, MediWait is up next. And Dan, I apologize. I'm behind today looking at my digital readout
here to see
where I'm at and see how much further down I am. I got a congratulations today that I hit a new low weight.
Sweet.
There, you're seeing
it, right? I see it right there. Congratulations.
You hit a new low weight, which means I lost like another half a pound or something yesterday.
Sweet.
So does MediWait work?
Oh, yeah.
You're watching it.
I'm watching right before my eyes. You're disappearing.
I'm living proof. It works. So if you're tired of being overweight, maybe you've had problems in the past losing weight. You've done all the different fad diets, you name it, from the Ab Masters on. You've tried it all, and nothing seems to work. Well, let me tell you what. I kind of felt like the same thing here recently that, hey, maybe it's just me. Maybe I can't do this anymore. But the reality is I just needed a little kickstart, some help, some instruction on how to do it. And MediWeight did that for me. They can do the same thing for you. It's medically supervised weight loss, 720-699-2500. Call them now. Tell them Rush to Reason sent you.
You worry about your health, but you doubt you'd stick with a weight loss plan long enough to make a difference. Local MediWeight loss owner Josh Powell wants to share a secret with you. Make it through 1 month with MediWeight loss and you will gain the determination to reach your weight loss goal. Since most people lose 14 to 20 pounds in the first month, you'll develop the confidence to complete your weight loss journey. Do it for yourself and your family. Call Josh at 720-699-2500 to start your weight loss journey with MediWeight loss today.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. So, Dan, you had something you wanted to go over today.
Yeah, I threw it in the notes for you.
Where at?
But it's right underneath us.
I see it. There we go.
And so RTD proposes cuts to portions of Aurora's R line with poor productivity.
Really? Nobody's riding it?
No, after less than 6 months of operations. I mean,
6 months.
These things are billion-dollar boondoggles. When you drive along and you watch that thing, nobody's on it. And quite frankly, I mean, it's just no. Okay, so you have to be. Nobody uses these things unless they're within a mile of them.
Okay.
And then they're Ubering over there. I've had people call me up, for an Uber ride. They want me to take them to light rail. Well, as we get going, they go, you know what? Why don't you just take me to my destination?
Just be done with it.
Just be done with it because they don't want to get out. They don't want to wait for the train. They don't want to they don't want to put up with all the malarkey that goes along with it.
So they are proposing a reduction during off-peak hours south of the Florida station only. Weekday service would run between high traffic times 5 and 9 a.m. and then 3 and 6 p.m. There would be no weekend service. So I guess what they're figuring out is nobody's riding.
Nobody.
Hmm. Really?
Well, you see even downtown on the weekends, you see the big light rail trains with all the cars.
There's nobody on them. I know.
There's nobody on them.
But they still have to run all the time.
They have to run them all the time. And I was talking to a guy the other day that works for RTD, and we were talking about, if you got on the train and what the fine would be if you didn't buy a ticket.
Right.
It's like $115. And I just said, well, that's what the price should be anyway. Seriously, because you're not covering the cost with anything less. You know what he said? He agreed. He agreed with me. He goes, you're absolutely right.
Because that's what it costs.
These things are nothing but financial boondoggles. That's all they are.
It's a huge dollar amount. And land that we have set aside for.
Oh, yeah. I mean.
Huge.
If they'd have spent the money that they spent on just the R line on 270.
And 225.
And 225.
Yeah, we'd been way better off. Phenomenally.
Yeah, I mean, just think about the intersection of 225 and I-70.
Yep.
Throw the money in there.
Yep, that alone.
Move more people than you're on that
Dan,
dumb train.
You and I are on the same page there. It's ridiculous the amount of money we spend on some of this other stuff. Now, I realize they're two separate pockets. CDOT doesn't get any of this money. RTD gets it all from the sales tax and other things.
But it all comes from us, the taxpayer.
Yeah, we're writing the checks.
Exactly. I don't care which entity is getting the money. The money should not be spent on this ridiculous stuff.
No doubt about it. All right, Life Choices has several events coming up. Yes, they're fundraisers. Yes, it's to bring awareness to life. To what Life Choices does, which, by the way, is educates ladies and young women on abstinence and other things when it comes to really the sexual side of the fence, getting pregnant, what happens after you're pregnant, what are the options, what do I do with the baby, all these different things. And, yeah, do we admit right off the bat that Life Choices is anti-abortion? Yes, because we are as well.
Yes, exactly.
So you know what? It's that simple. So if you believe in life, you like what they do, go to one of the events. You can find them at lifematters.org. Why? Because life matters at Life Choices.
Hi, I'm Abigail, and I'm a Life Choices baby. My parents were pregnant with me when they were just 17 years old, and they were able to receive